Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah, praise be to Allah. It's Allah's special grace, Allah's blessings, Allah's special mercy that He has to us given this night. And He has given us the capability and ability to do His dhikr on this night. And in the night that we are sitting, and Allah Ta'ala has mentioned regards the action of doing His shukr in the Quran and the hadith, that when people gather together, come together, and their objective of gathering together, getting together, is to remember me, Allah says, is to do my dhikr, Allah says, then Allah says that gathering is on the earth, on the crust of the earth, but Allah Ta'ala says, I remember and mention those people with pride in the heavens, along with the angels. Think, are me and you worthy of this, that we can reach to this status that Allah Ta'ala mentions us in the heavens along with His angels? This is all as fadl, His karam, His reward to us. And especially today, this gathering of dhikr, this majlis of dhikr, in this night that we are sitting in, this time we are sitting, these moments, these opportunities, this night, this occasion, this day, is of that month, which is an azim month, a great month. This is that month that we are in, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in a special effect. Hazrat Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullah alayhi stated that time, that moment, at which time the Imam of the Anbiya, the head of the Prophets, the Sultan of the Anbiya, the King of the Prophets, the Khatimul Anbiya, the final Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that moment, that time when he came to this world, when he was born into this world, that moment, that time, those few seconds until Qiyamah, and since the world was created and until the Day of Judgment, all of the moments that have come and gone, many blessed times have come and gone, but that was the greatest moment in the history of the world. So this night must be beautiful as well. That month must be great. So the night must be great. So Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity to sit in the night of that great blessed month. And for you to come is blessed. And Rasulullah's coming to the world was blessed. And there are many hadith regards the birth of the Prophet. The muhaddithin, the scholars, have mentioned this event and commentated on this, that how did the Prophet come to this world? How was he born? Everything is there and everything is sacred and written and recorded and discussed. But more muqaddas and great and holy than that is that why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam come to this world? What was the reason for his coming to the world? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Ta'ala sent me to this world in such a great way, and Allah Ta'ala said to the ummah that I have done a great favor on you, O ummah, that I have sent to you the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the favor that Allah Ta'ala has done to us? This is the point we need to understand. This is the point. What's the point of commemorating the day or celebrating these moments if we don't understand the reason? We need to take the message and we need to take the guidance from Allah, that Allah says to us that what did my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam come to you with? What did he give to you as a message, as a learning? Because that must be the most precious thing. He brought so many things. He brought ibadat, worship, salah, fasting, hajj. What he brought to us, so many things. The list is endless. The list is endless, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us everything that we could imagine. One durood he gave to us, which we cannot even repay the favor for that durood if we recite it. Tell me. So alhamdulillah, if we gather everything together, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a whole complete way of life, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the objective of my coming, the real reason for me to come, was one. That I came to, everything else is secondary. And if you can attain the objective that I brought to mankind, then Rasulullah said everything else will come automatically into your life, into your destiny. So the objective that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, he said, it was one reason for me to come to this world, to this universe. And what was that? That I came to complete akhlaq I came to complete the subject of husni akhlaq. I came to complete the example of good manners and conduct and behavior. So all of the deen of Islam is encapsulated in the subject of akhlaq, my brothers, and this is the one point we need to understand. The person whose akhlaq is good, the person whose manners and behavior and conduct is good, then his whole deen is protected. His ibadat is protected. And he has attained the highest reward in this world and hereafter. He will get the highest stage that Allah Ta'ala can give to anybody. There's wahid, one platform that we need to establish, and that is to look after our akhlaq. This is our manzil, our destination and our objective. So akhlaq, my brothers, conduct and behavior, all of the conduct and behavior of a human being, it emanates from within, from inside, from the batin. Yes? So when the batin is spoilt, then a person has a wretched and dirty akhlaq, and dirty sins emanate. Dunya says salam to that person, and they may pick up things for that person, and shoes for that person, and help that person. But how do they know that due to that person's poor akhlaq, he is actually going to end up in the pit of Jahannam? People may dislike somebody. People may say bad about someone. But subhanAllah, what do they know? That he has such a great akhlaq that Allah Ta'ala has given high status to that person. Because he is running after his objective. And he is trying to... What akhlaq is this? That for example, I'm cautious, I pray salah, I keep fasts and I do ibadat and worship. Fair enough. And then it doesn't take a second and I swear at people. What's the point? And I get angry within seconds. And I say bad to people within seconds. I ridicule people within seconds. And I forget all of the rules of behavior. So where's my salah? Where's my ibadah? Then I have not attained my objective. I have not attained the destination of a Muslim. Think about this. On the day of judgment, there will be a person, an individual. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated this hadith. Has Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith that there will be a person on the day of judgment and he will be given the flesh of his dead brother. Tell me. Look at this. And it can be anybody, any one of us could be in that position. Shakhs, individual, whoever does this sin, on the day of judgment, he will be presented the flesh, the meat of his dead brother. When he sees this, he will be told that in the world you used to eat this flesh when he was alive, now eat the dead flesh. Why are you hesitating? Why are you hesitate to eat the person dead for his flesh? And then Rasulullah narrated the ayah, the verse, that do you prefer that you would like to devour the flesh of your deceased brother? This is the verse of the Quran. And today we like it very much. We think it's tasty. We like to backbite against people. We slander. Such a small sin is backbiting for us. Just like I think it's probably not even worth the dust that we see on the ground. But it's not even worth that for us. It's not even that bad for us. It's an extremely, extremely wretched and dirty and impure sin. There's no limit to the wretchedness of this sin of backbiting. And today, what do we do? The masjid is full of backbiting. The masjid is not safe from backbiting. Nor is the outside safe from backbiting. Nor is the house safe from backbiting. Nor is the family safe from backbiting. Nor is the khanka safe from backbiting. Nor is the place of tazkiyah and tazkiyah. Everything is going there and people are and talking about each other and backbiting against each other. Is this akhlaq? Is this how bad our akhlaq is stooped to the low levels today? Think about it. And a big statement, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that this is ibadah, worship. That if you understood this to be a sin and you controlled it, you controlled this sin. And for example, you have a phone outside, inside, home, family, relative. It doesn't take a second today to backbite. We backbite within seconds. Our salah is destroyed. Our ibadat is destroyed. All our night tahajjud is destroyed. Dhikr is destroyed. Just because we utilize this tongue in the wrong way. And we don't realize this. Oh, he was bad, so I said to him, bad. That's why we're told that don't even talk about the badness of a bad person. If he is bad, then don't do that, because that's backbiting. If he isn't bad, then that's slander. Who told you to speak bad of a person, even if he is bad? Who told you? Has Ka'b radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith about this sin of backbiting, that most of all, and think how bad this sin is, that do you know that on the day of judgment, in the last position, who will go into Jannah last in the hereafter, paradise? Who will go last? Doesn't matter how much worship he did. Who will be the last to go into Jannah? Who will be those people? It stated that those people who after backbiting, they even did tawbah. They even repented. But the effects of backbiting are so bad, it's such a dirty sin, that that person will be the final person to go into paradise. Oh, it's okay to backbite, it's alright, I can do this. But it's so much ibadah he may have done. He may have worshipped and prayed, but should we not do tawbah from backbiting? Now we've realized this hadith. The last person to go into Jannah. And the first person to go into hellfire will be who? The first person to go into Jahannam will be who? Who that person who died without doing tawbah, he did ghibat and he didn't do tawbah. And this is such a common sin today that forget about tawbah. We don't even think when we say someone tells me I've done ghibat, I say, oh, it's not ghibat, why should I do tawbah? That's what Rasulullah said, that ghibat, backbiting is such a bad sin. It's worse than zina, to many levels higher than zina. Many levels higher than zina in its notoriety, in its evil. Because when a person does zina, when a person does adultery, but ghibat, backbiting is worse, because after zina, what happens? That person eventually realizes and asks for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, you are Rahim. Allah, I've sinned. I've wronged Allah. Allah says, go, I forgive you. I am Ghafoor Rahim. You have a chance. But the person who backbites, it's such a dirty sin. When you do tawbah of ghibat, Allah says, I cannot forgive you. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, I am not able to forgive you now. Allah says, my hukum is now. If you come to me to repent, I cannot accept your forgiveness. Your repentance, the person you backbited against, go to him. Ask for his forgiveness or her forgiveness. If she or him forgives you, then I will forgive you. So why enter into this nonsense sin in the first place if you can't even get the forgiveness from Allah afterwards? What is the benefit of backbiting if we cannot even get the forgiveness? Now if I sin and I backbite, I'm trapped. Now I have to go to that brother or sister and he'll slap me or she'll slap me. But take the slap, take the dishonor, take the beats, because you will be saving yourself from the azab. But today my status is such, oh, I cannot lower myself, I've got pride. Oh, if I go to that brother and say to him, I backbited against you, how can I say this to him? The gabbar will come into me and it doesn't let me go forth to ask for repentance. So that person is so drowned in his sin of backbiting, nor is the taste of ibadah, nor is the enjoyment in ibadah. Keeps on doing ibadah and worship, keeps on backbiting in parallel, but he doesn't realize he's doing this sin and he's in the darkness of the sin. Yeah, friends get together. Oh, do you know in that mosque this happened and that person said this and Mulana Sahib said this? And to backbite against an alim? Ooh, this is even the worst situation. Then your backbiting sin will increase even more. And to backbite against a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, the closer a person is to Allah, and if we backbite against that person, the more closer a person is to Allah, then there will be worse punishment, severe punishment for that if you backbite against that person. If you go to a wali of Allah and say, I backbite against you, say to him, go and accept your sin. I said this about you, I sat in a circle with other people and I joked against you and I ridiculed you and I put you down. So this is the hukam. If you want forgiveness, Allah says, I cannot forgive you. Go to that man or woman you backbite, and in the world before death. You cannot go to that person on the day of judgment. It has to be here before you die. Do you understand, my brother? So I'm explaining to myself. So big punishment for a big sin, backbiting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will give such a severe sin for backbiting that all of the makhluk will be rising on the day of judgment. There will be punishment for sins, but the unique punishment for backbiting is that everyone in mankind will see. You will not be able to hide the punishment. Why? Because that person who used to backbite, Allah says his face, his mouth will be put on his back. On his back. Can you imagine this? Your face and your mouth on your back. This is the Sahih Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me, so what's the point of enjoying backbiting and what does this affect? Akhlaq, as we started in the beginning. Akhlaq. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to complete akhlaq. But we don't pay attention to akhlaq. We don't understand what is akhlaq. We don't study akhlaq. We don't realize what is akhlaq. So how will we eliminate the sins? Look, for example, I am a humble, useless sinner, servant of Allah, but I had the company of my great Shaykh, and I have a link with you and love with you, but you don't listen to what I'm saying. You don't even listen. How sad. You just don't realize what is going on. I make an effort. I made the sheet system. I distributed those sheets for you, brethren, and for myself, and for the sisters, and for the youngsters, for everyone. Does any Shaykh do this today? Does any Shaykh care for the students to like this? It's such a system, the sheets, that you do self-assessment on the sheet for every sin. And those brothers, very few people do this. They don't give importance to this. So how will our sins be removed? When you go to a doctor and your doctor gives you the prescription and you don't want to take the medicine and cure your illness, then how will you cure the sins? Look, dhikr is a cure. All these actions we do, dhikr, remembering Allah, there is thawab for this, but that's not our objective. We don't do dhikr for thawab. Rather, we get more thawab sitting at home. We can get more thawab sitting at home. More than coming to this majlis, I can tell you such amal deeds you can do sitting at home that you'll get more reward than you do get for dhikr of Allah. But you won't get the effect of dhikr at home. The things you will get in the majlis due to doing dhikr, you will not get those effects sitting at home. So this is the reason why we gather together, why we remember Allah. Because here, we don't just get thawab for dhikr, but alhamdulillah, we will get the effect, the penetration. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this month, on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, Rasulullah came to this earth, and what he brought, we will attain if we pay attention. This is Eid Miladun Nabi. This is cool, Eid Miladun Nabi, without going on the conferences and the marches and the events. Today you will succeed if you take the message of 12th Rabiul Awwal. Because no one else can commemorate 12th Rabiul Awwal in the world the way we will commemorate this today sitting here. You will fulfill the haqq of this day and night. Make a true promise in your heart today that Rasulullah, we know you came to the world, why you came. The hadith are full of the event of your birth and the greatness of your birth, but your objective when you came to this world was to correct our akhlaq. We make a true promise today, O Allah, that we will improve our akhlaq 100%. What will we do? We will improve our akhlaq. Okay, so when we say this, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا, Allah Ta'ala said this clearly, subhanAllah. If you try and make effort, Allah Ta'ala says, then I will raise you as successful. As a Tanwi rahmatullahi has done commentary on this verse, that I have raised you for this purpose. Why? Because you are promising to Allah, Allah Ta'ala says. You are promising to me, subhanAllah. So, are you making promise to someone insignificant? This is Allah, our Khalik, our Malik, our Razik. The Allah Ta'ala says, when I say kun, fayakun. If I say be, then it becomes. And we saying to Allah, the Allah, I say today, I will commemorate Eid Miladun Nabi in a truthful way, that what message he brought. Allah, I promise to you today in this moment that I've understood the coming of Rasulullah, I will look after my akhlaq and I will make attempts. Allah says that this is what I told you, wajahadu. Wajadu, all I ask you for, Allah Ta'ala says, is for you to make effort. Your father cannot correct you. No, your relatives cannot correct you. No sheikh can correct you. Allah says, it's me who corrects you. It's me who makes you come on the right path. Everything else is the means for you to come to the right path. But if you make an attempt, Allah says, I will give you such resources and means that all of the dirt and impurity will be washed from within you. Will be clean. And this is the reason why we've come. To go to the company of the awliya Allah. What do we realize here? What do we see here? That these aren't stories and waste of time occasions. Allah has given us a great, great opportunity. I've told you about one sin so far. I won't say this to anyone that put your hands up who doesn't have backbiting inside him. Because obviously this is a severe sin. And may it not be that this sin is present in anyone. I hope this is not present in anyone. Let's pray that it's not present in any one of us. But maybe we don't clean our batin. For example, I give you sheets and I told you that with every sin, document it. And if you do it 40 days chilla, you need to record that you don't do this sin. Try. Make the effort. Maybe, for example, I've told you this event. The Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, his daughter, she was poor. Mufti Shafi Sahib. And she was Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatum, whose father, Mufti Shafi Sahib. And his daughter was poor. She had no money. She was living in poverty. The daughter of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib. So once Hazrat Mufti Sahib came back from Hajj and she was in the corner of her home and he went to see his daughter and she was crying. He said, why are you crying, my daughter? She said, Abba Jan, my father, I feel like I also want to go on Hajj. I'd like to go on Hajj as well. And her father said, that tell me the truth. Do you want to go on Hajj? Because mashallah, he was a wali Allah. He was the great mufti, Hazrat Tanwi's rahmatullahi's khalifa. She said, yes, Abajan, I want to go on Hajj. He said, no. That really you don't desire to go on Hajj. You don't have this because you are speaking against the Quran. If you desire and you don't go on Hajj, then this cannot be the case. You don't have that desire. She said, my father, I want to go on Hajj. And the father and the daughter are speaking. He said that if you really want to go to Hajj, then what effort have you made? SubhanAllah, say SubhanAllah. That don't sleep when I'm speaking, listen to what I'm saying. Say SubhanAllah so I know you're awake. When you like, you hear what I say, then scream out, SubhanAllah. Yeah, don't get lost in the words and fall asleep. So he said, my daughter, if you really desire in your heart that you want to go on Hajj, if you really had the desire and you had the hope, like in our hearts, we want to be safe from backbiting, then if I have a desire in my heart, genuine, then what a great sheikh is saying to his daughter, then definitely he would have made effort for your desire. She was quiet. She said, Abba, you're right what you're saying. He said, the Quran says this. So have you made effort? You haven't made effort, so how will you go on Hajj? She said, what effort shall I make? I am poor, I have no money, no taka, no rupees, I can do nothing. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi said, can you not even save 50 pence in a month? You understand? That is less than the whole amount, it's the half, or even less. One coin, the ana, or one paisa, one pence. He said, can you not save one penny in one month? If you save one penny, if you put this in the box in the name of Hajj, then this will be your effort. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at quantity, he looks at quality, that whatever is your capability, capacity, if you work to your capacity, mujahadu, then that for you is mujahada. That's your effort. That's your effort. What a great point he has taught to us, my brothers, today, you, me, whatever is in my heart that I want to become a wali Allah, then mujahadu. Then have your desire, put it in front of you according to your capacity, capability, say, Allah, I'm going to try from today to become your friend. You'll become the friend of Allah. You become the friend. But you say, no, I can't do it, it's too hard, I have to get up in the night and pray. And say, if you say, I want to become Hafidh of Quran, you have the intention. Yeah, your heart feels like you want to become Hafidh of Quran. I want to become Hafidh of Quran. 70 years old people I've seen who have become Hafiz, in their heart they had the desire, no, it's too hard, I have to drive taxi, I have to go to work, I have the desire. No, you don't have the desire. If you have the desire in your heart, then wajahadu, you have to make the effort. Put one P, just one word of the Quran, alif, lam, meem, alif, lam, meem, alif, lam, meem, you've learnt it, you've memorized it, isn't it? So if you try and you make a start, Allah Ta'ala says, I promised you that when I make a promise to you that I will then make you a hafiz before you pass away. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Maybe you won't become a great qari, but you will get the thawab thereafter. You will stand on the digit of Allah, I started, I'm a hafiz. Allah will say, you're the head of the hafiz, go forth, go forth. Allah says, I made you do hifz. And that Mulana Sahab, you used to go to Mulana's to do hifz, but Allah says, I made you do the hifz. I gave you the strength to do hifz. Isn't this the case? Many people learnt like this. Does everyone want to become hafiz? Whoever wants to become a hafiz, put your hands up. Subhanallah. All put your hands up, my friends. What do you need to do? You need to make effort. Just one word. One word. Just make a little bit of effort. Allah, I'm not worthy. I'm not capable. I can't learn it. Allah, all I can do is try. Allah, I'll try my best. Allah, I'll promise. Allah says, I put no limits to say subhanallah. I put no limits to the trying. Allah says, there's no basis, no measurement. So everyone say today, alif, lam, mim, dhalik al-kitab. Then after that, the next verse, then the next word. Even if you remember one word in 1 week, keep on remembering, keep on remembering. Allah says, if not here, then you'll be the hafiz in the hereafter. In the grave, you'll be the hafiz. On the bridge of Sirat, you'll be the hafiz. And when you'll be called on the day of judgment, then you'll be called amongst the huffaz. With the qualities of the huffaz. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. The Quran tells us, based on the niyyah and the effort Allah Ta'ala looks. Look at the points that are coming out today. Great points. This is even greater than thawab. You've become a hafidh. By your effort, you become a wali of Allah. Look, say, you want to become a wali of Allah, ghawsh kutub. Make the intention. Allah says, become the wali of Allah. I want you to become a wali of Allah. Allah says, why are you sat in the corner afraid, jahil, looking at your sins? Allah says, why are you looking at your sins? You're showing me your sins, Allah says, look towards the sins and look towards the improvement, tawbah. What do you want to be? Allah, I want to become a kutab, abdal. Allah says, you'll become an abdal. That do effort in accordance to becoming a wali of Allah. And that line, that subject, the action, start doing them. Start practicing them. So I was telling you an event. What was the event? You forgotten? The story has a Mufti Sahib and his daughter. So she said, Abba, one ana, one paisa, I can put one paisa in the box every month. So she started putting the paisa. And she started making the effort and see if the Hajj occurs. So she said, okay. So she started putting the paisa, the few pence. And with the Raza Ilahi, she was 34 years old. And she passed away. She passed away. As a Mufti Shafi Sahib, Rahimahullah, went on Hajj. And he stated that I was on Hajj. And what did I see? That he was a Sahib Kashfi. He had the vision. He had the inspiration. He saw Jabal Rahma. He said, my daughter, she's wandering around Jabal Rahma in Makkah. He said, I called out to her. I rubbed my eyes. Is it her? And he said, I said her name. And I called out. And she turned back and smiled and looked at me. Abba, has my Hajj been done now? Wajahadu feena, subhanallah. You said to me, make effort. I made the effort. And he said, I came home and I went to her house and I saw in her pot, you know, she had a, he said, open her clothes mound, and inside that clothes mound was the box which was the preparation for Hajj, and it was written on there, preparation for Hajj. And he saw, when he said, open that container, and in there, there was 65 rupees. Allahu Akbar. And Hajj, preparation for the Hajj. So the money was there, and she did Hajj. And what Hajj did she do? She did the Hajj of the heavens. She did the Hajj in the heavens. What great examples in front of us. But we don't have yaqeen in of the Quran. What is wujahadu? We are just in the same situation. Jahil, ignorant, illiterate. So my brothers, there's no thing that a person cannot achieve. There's no action a person can achieve. This is a very dirty disease of backbiting. If we all make niyyah today that we're going to improve our akhlaq, we're going to improve our manners and conduct and look after ourselves, then what do we need to do? We need to make effort. We need to make effort. So brothers, the sheets I've given to you. Those who don't have sheets, then take the sheets from me. Those who are bare with me, take sheets. And those who are not bare with me, take sheets. Fi sabilillah, no problem. And then they'll come and understand. Very difficult. It's 3 months they cannot complete. Then it'll become even easier for you. That I've made a lot of effort on this. And a whole team is working on this, inshallah. It will come on the site. Then you won't even need to print. All you have to do is the sheets will be there. You just have to put the ticks on there, the marks. And then you press the submit button and the sheets will come to me. Say subhanallah. What a great preparation has been made for you. So easy. Allah's mercy on His creation. Allah Ta'ala puts these things into my heart and I'm serving you. I'm working for you. I'm helping you. Yes, there's a whole team, brothers. MashaAllah, thousands of pounds are spent, MashaAllah, on their time and their efforts, so that when the system is made, because you're lazy, oh, who can print sheets out? Then who's going to go and give the envelope to Hazrat? Who's going to fill in the sheets? So I'm going to make it simple. Tell me, is there anything similar in this? That all you have to do is take out your phone, go on the screen, go onto our site and go to the sheets tab, and then your personal sheet will come up on the screen. You'll select ghibat, backbiting, you start tracking the backbiting 30 days, press submit, the sheet will come to me. SubhanAllah. And we meet everyone in the masjid. You'll do masafa and I'll shake hands that this is your sin. This is not right. Correct yourself. And the ghibat will come out of your life. Isn't it? Backbiting will go. Lying will go. Evil eye will go. Haram actions will go. All the sins, alhamdulillah, the 40 sins of inside, they will all be eliminated. The 40 internal sins. So will we make effort? Inshallah. What else can a man do? Allah says, how much more shall I prepare for you? The systems, but may not be, but we say, no, I want to go to the hot ashes and embers and fire in the hereafter. Then Allah says, I cannot cure your desire if you really do want to be burnt. Allah says, I've prepared for you solutions, but if you really want to be burnt, then that's your choice. My brothers, this majlis of dhikr of Allah, is this a minor thing? This is a great solution for our sins. But we don't come to dhikr. We don't understand what is dhikr. If we don't make effort, and Allah said openly, without effort, you cannot succeed. My Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that if you don't make effort and you don't have the courage and determination, then Allah Ta'ala will not come your way. You have to implement these calls of the walis of Allah. If you make effort and have determination, then Allah's rahmah won't come. Allah's mercy won't come. We need to pull on Allah's mercy. So if anything you want to achieve, then you need to make effort according to your capability. Allah's not asking for overtime. Allah's not asking you to go too much out of your way. Work, get up in the morning, business, employment, and do all of these good actions around your daily schedule. And make a niyyah, I'm going to start from today. So my brothers, this is the message today from Teddy. We need to practice this. Ghibat is a dirty action, impure action, and there's a lot of punishment for this action and sin. It's difficult lying here, lying there, left and right. And let's look at one point here now. The backbiting. If you backbite against somebody, then who do you need to get forgiveness from? That person you backbited against. But if you do zina, then who do you ask forgiveness from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a big difference, huh? Big difference. So there's another method that if by chance you have backbiting, may Allah not allow this, it's not a good action and you shouldn't. But let's say you have backbited, then don't delay. Before you get up from the gathering, do tawbah to Allah. Who to? Allah. The Allah, Allah says, then I'll forgive. Subhanallah. If you backbited, if that backbiting gets to that person who you backbited against, then you are gone. You're gonna. Then it's between you and that person. But if that backbiting has not reached to that person before that, Allah says, you ask me for forgiveness, then Allah says, I cut off that path and I'll forgive you first and foremost. Allahu Akbar. So this is all something we need to be cautious about. If you have a backbite, straight away, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me, I've just done this, Allah forgive me, straight away, please. If it doesn't reach to that person, or you don't wait, and the sin doesn't take effect, then Allah Ta'ala says, at least I'll give you a bit of concession. Then Allah says, okay, I'll swipe it under the carpet for you, and I'll make it eliminated from the records, as long as you do tawbah immediately. Allah says, I will wipe your record book clean. But if the backbiting goes forward, and you waste time, then Allah says, I cannot do anything for you, you'll have to go to that person to get the forgiveness. But we are so foolish, so stupid, after backbiting, and say, oh, I didn't sin. I've not said anything about him. It's not backbiting, it's factual. What did I say to him? It's nothing. And then we get worse. We get stubborn. If someone backbites, you say, brother, you just backbited. Oh, don't talk rubbish to me. You know better than me what's backbiting. I wasn't saying anything bad about him. And many people at this moment in time, when I'm saying this, will probably not like him, what I'm saying. And they'll say to me, oh, he's telling me, I backbite. So my brothers, my friends, this is the sin which is really, really wretched. And this is the dalalat and the wretchedness. Oh, you go your own way and leave me to my way. You think you're pure and beautiful and the best. Don't tell me about backbiting. This is what we say. No, this is not the way. So alhamdulillah, from today we need to make effort. We need to strive. What things do we need to make an effort on? Let me repeat first. We have to become hafiz. Do you want to become hafiz? Inshallah. From today, start. Alif, lam, mim. From the beginning, dhalikal, maybe you may not even get to dhalikal kitab and pass away, but your janazah will be that of the hafiz. Whether anyone accepts or not, you will die as hafiz, even if you didn't recite and lead the tarawis. Okay? And second action, what do we want to become? We want to become walis of Allah. And for that, let's start today. I want to become a wali of Allah. Make that your objective today. And what do you have to do to become a wali of Allah? Do tazkiyah, purify your heart and your batin and your inner self. And what do you have to do that? Is that go and make a connection with the wali of Allah. With the friend of Allah, the qualified people, Hazrat, Shaykh, I want to be a wali of Allah. Okay, you want to be a wali of Allah? Okay, take bayah and I'll teach you, guide you, and you'll do mujahida, and you'll follow the direction of the Shaykh and his teachings, Islah. So easy is the formula. The first step, Allah Ta'ala says that if you want to become my friend, then go to my friend to become my friend. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And direct, you can't come to me, Allah says. You know those people who want a direct link? Allah says, no, you can't make friendship with me directly. You have to go through the intermediary. Allah says, I've kept my signs and my men on the earth. Go to them. Go to them. If they recommend you, then I will make you my friend. Subhanallah. Aha. Great point. If they don't recommend you, if they don't sign on your sheet, then Allah says, I cannot stamp your sheet. The day that your sheikh signs the sheet, Allah says, then I'll stamp your sheet with walayat. So go to a sheikh, a qualified teacher, get Islah, the friend of Allah, say, Hazrat, I've come to you, I want to learn from you, I want to become a wali of Allah in my life, make my connection alive with Allah. Please, this is something to be ashamed about? No. They say, when we go to get money from someone, I need some money for petrol, we won't be ashamed then. Oh, please, my house, I need to buy some wood, I need £5,000, I need a bit of help from you, can you give me some money? We won't be ashamed. Oh, please, I want to do this action, can you give me a loan? We won't be ashamed. Oh, I'm hungry, give me some food. We won't be ashamed of asking. But when it comes to Allah Ta'ala's nearness, that who are we going to ask Allah, I want to become wali of Allah, we all embarrassed. Why are we embarrassed about becoming walis of Allah? Why? Don't you want to get close to Allah? And even that's the function of a human being, that if we make a connection with the wali of Allah, then he'll give you and tell you what to do according to your capacity. And your mujahida might even just be a small amount that you'll have a connection with that wali of Allah. Say Subhanallah. That's it. That's it. And due to that connection, you have to be cautious and preserve that connection. Just preserve it. What is Diyanat Dari? Be honest and sincere with that connection with that Shaykh. That I make a solid and pure niyah. I've come for this reason, O Shaykh, that I want to make a connection with Allah. Then that's honesty and sincerity. After that, you won't be angry. You won't criticize the teacher. You won't reject his teachings. You won't backbite against him. Because you're honest and sincere with the teacher. It doesn't matter what happens. But I have created a link with this teacher. I want to become a wali of Allah. Then you should have such a link that there should be honesty with the teacher. And sincerity, waswasa comes, shaitan whispers, no, don't follow him, don't take his teaching. No, have honesty, sincerity, because if you're dishonest, then you cannot succeed from the teachings of the teacher. Then you're dishonest with Allah, and then you'll be a munafiq, hypocrite. So make a link with the teacher, with the sheikh. The sheikh doesn't say to you, do this much dhikr and do so much and do so much mujahid and wake up in the night. He's not telling you to do any of this, because there's one condition of Allah. That if you want to become my friend, then go to my friends on planet earth. They know better and they will teach you, and you need to practice. You need the teacher to sign on your sheet. Yes, if he asks you to do this or X, Y, Z, clean the clothes, shoes, whatever, doesn't matter. If you can serve the wali of Allah and do the right actions and stay away from sin, Allah says, I'll become pleased with you. One person became very against me. He said, Hazrat, I'm seeing for many days people pick up your shoes. I said that I'm not telling them to pick up the shoes. Yes, one brother came, oh, I see, they opened the door for you. I said, I'll tell them to stop opening the door, no problem. Have I said to any one of you to open the door for me? Have I said any of you to announce, pick up my shoes or serve me? No, no, I'm an innocent, sinful person. Even my shoes got stolen. Yes, at least someone put some shoes there in place for me once my shoes got stolen. What do I do then? And it was an expensive pair of shoes. And so the shoes, it was good for somebody to replace it. So he helped me that day. But these people, who can explain these people that I've not told them to help me? I've not told them to do my khidmat. Nor is their intention for anything else except Allah's pleasure. This hukum has come into the heart of Allah that you've got a connection with this teacher, Sheikh. So help him or assist him. They think that maybe in picking up the shoes, Allah will be happy with us, or serving the teacher, Allah will be happy with us. So they've taken the wasila, the means to Allah's pleasure. So if through this action, if a person picks up the Sheikh's shoes or serves the Sheikh, and if someone dislikes this, then he's got some issue in his heart that he dislikes the service of the wali of Allah. There's a problem. Or why do they not pick my shoes? Or why don't they stand up for me when I come? Or when I stand, if a Sheikh says this, that oh, when I come they should stand for me, or they should serve me or pick my shoes. If the Sheikh is thinking this, then himself he is sick. He has got disease in his own heart that he wants people to serve him and to help him. But in that person, if you've got a link with the teacher, and for the sake of Allah in your heart comes the love, oh, today I want to go to my Hazrat and I want to assist him or press the legs, or he's got pain in the legs, ask Hazrat Zakariya Sahab, rahmatullahi. There were such people. He would go to his Sheikh. Do you understand? That Hazrat Zakariya Sahab, rahmatullahi, in his generation, that his Sheikh was Hazrat Gangohi, Hazrat Rashid Ahmed Gangohi. Do you understand? That, you know, when a person eats paan and they put the seeds in the paan and then they spit out the paan and they spurt it out, and this is what happens in it. So in that paan, in Punjab people don't understand, and the people, they smoke the hookah, they put those same ingredients into the pipe. And so this is like eating the paan. So when they eat the paan, and after eating the paan, they're chewing the paan, and they spurt out or spit out the remains. And this is a way, Lucknowi paan, different paans. And this is called the remains of the paan that comes out. And this is aam, common. So when Hazrat Zakariya Sahab's Sheikh, when he used to spit out, I can't remember, was it Hazrat Thanvi Sahab or was it Gangohi Sahib? And I've read this long time ago. And Abu Qabrin said that what would we do then when they used to throw the seeds out, then we wouldn't allow the seeds to be thrown. We used to drink from the remains of those seeds and from the remains of that leaf. Subhanallah. And I'll tell you an event of my Hazrat Qureshi, rahmatullah, he was one of the khalifas of my Sheikh. And one day I saw him. From a long time he was serving Hazrat Sahib. And I saw a ajeeb scene. What can I tell you? This line of muhabbat and love and service of the Sheikh is great. Do you know that, you know, when the people, they go past stool, then they go somewhere, bit of dust and earth. And when everyone would leave the gathering, then in the morning when Hazrat would free everybody, and he'd go into the corner and stand. And he'd stand in the corner after everyone would leave, subhanAllah, and he would with his own hands, he'd pick up the stool and he'd put it into his sheet and he'd throw it to go out into the wilderness in the village and throw it away. This is the service, the khidmat, to clean the vicinity of the khanka. This is what a person learns. He had no riya, no showing off. He had love for his Sheikh and jazba that he wanted to keep the place clean. Who's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Not for Hazrat Sahib. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dhikr you do and you get judged by an emotion, this is not dhikr, this is the love of Allah that comes into the heart of the person. This is not salah that you get enjoyment, it's Allah's love. These are all means to reach Allah ta'ala's nearness. The more a person gets closer to Allah, then he utilizes the means to get closer to Allah. Everyone's feeling and emotion in salah is different. What's the reason for this? The people who are closer to Allah, then their salah is elevated to the heights, subhanAllah. To the heights. The person who is fana, immersed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, then he's immersed in the Shaykh service. And all the means and the resources to get to Allah, all of these are resources. I mean, this is not the objective, to serve a teacher, Hajj, Umrah, Quran, and to attain Allah's nearness. All of these things are the means to get to Allah. Quran, Hadith, recitation, Hifz, service of the Shaykh, Khidmat of the Shaykh. All of this is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to become fana full Sheikh, to be immersed in the love of the Sheikh. Can anyone pick up the shoes of the Sheikh or the stool of the Sheikh? Can anyone drink the pus of the teacher? Look at the maqams of the students. So Hazrat Gogohi rahmatullah, Hazrat Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullah alayhi, all of these great teachers, you just name their names and you feel the enjoyment. Hazrat Zakariya Saman, they drank the pus from the illness of the sheikh's skin. We don't even drink the water from the same glass. We say, oh, it's not pure. But no one desires. Can a sheikh ever desire that his student does this? That would Hazrat prefer this, that a person picks up my stool or my shoes, etc.? Never. Never would he desire this. No request will come from a teacher for this. But these are the means that the student who's fana, immersed in the teacher's service, then no one can stop him from the service. Why? He will say that, why should I stop him from this path? He's not doing this for me, says the Sheikh. He's doing this for Allah's sake. He's not picking up the shoes for my sake. So why should I consider this as a favor? Never do I take a favor from anyone. Anyone who helps me or serves me, I never consider it as a favor. Because he's doing it for Allah. He's not doing it for myself. He's not doing it for me. He's doing it for Allah, and Allah will judge him and Allah will reward that person. And if Allah Ta'ala is doing something, if a person is doing something for Allah, Allah says, then I will give the reward directly myself. Allah says that these people in the Quran have sold themselves for myself. They have sold their lives for myself. Allah says this in the Quran, clear verse. So those people who sell themselves, their efforts and their lives and their time for Allah Ta'ala's sake. So this is tazkiyah and reformation and purification. When a person gets to this height, then where will there be sins within him? Then backbiting will come out and lying will come out. And without effort, we cannot attain nothing. Brothers, the grave is about to come. I've told you one sin and the grave is waiting for us. Do tawbah for those people whose janazah are performed every day. Tomorrow we will also fall into the box and into the grave. Do true tawbah today, honest tawbah today, and wajahadu, from today make effort to remove this sin and these sins. And the more you can be fana in Allah Ta'ala's service, Allah says, become fana. Allah says that I haven't sent you to serve the people of the world. Allah says, these are all the means to get close to me. Yes, this masjid is a means to get close to Allah. The house of Allah is a means to get close to Allah. The masjid, everything Allah Ta'ala has given in the world is a means to get close to Allah. Come, I can show you thousands of mashayikh, thousands of walis of Allah who all had a different mode of life. And everyone had a unique way of life. There were many of those who didn't even know how to read Quran. They didn't know how to recite the Quran. They didn't know. They hadn't studied, but Allah Ta'ala gave them a different action through which they got close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are asbab and there are means. And if Allah Ta'ala gives to everyone according to the person's emotions and lifestyle, so make your maqsad of life not eating, drinking, chapatis and good drinks. This is not our objective, because when a person gets sick, can he eat? If you have a stomach ache today, will you eat chapatis? That means chapatis is not our objective of life. Because if you're ill, you cannot eat. Is the objective of life woman? If a person's energy is gone, then the woman's a waste for that person. He has no energy, no power. And children are grown up and they have a marriage, they are married, then that maqsad's gone. And a person, when he eats haram, haram, he's retired, so running after haram is not objective. Allah, what's your objective? Allah says, your objective is one, is that you need to attain my nearness, Allah says. That's your objective of life. That's what I gave to you as a mission. But you forgot this. When do we start doing that? When? When will we start the objective to get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? What is your selection of actions in your day? How much of a schedule do you make in the day? That today I'm going to do this in the morning, then I'm going to do this. When will our program start? If your program of life hasn't started, then your life hasn't started. Your life. Many great walis, 70 years old, they were when they got bayah. They said, today I'm born, after 70 years I learned what is life. Before this I was not living. I was not living. I was just walking around like an empty box. Many janazas they prayed in. Many janazas they led. Their own blood relatives have gone. Our relatives have gone. But we don't have the akal that we should prepare for our death as well and attain our objective. Allah says, I'll ask you on the day of judgment. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ Allah says, I'll ask you, question you. What were you doing in the world? The first thing I'll ask you, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتُ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلَكُمْ أَحْسَنُ وَمَلْ Allah says, I'll ask you, what was the objective of your life? The objective I sent to you for. Have you brought this to me? No, Allah, I didn't bring this. I thought my wife was my objective. In my life, I had a wife, then my children grew up, and they got married, then I got a pension and money and eating and drinking. And in my old age, I understood, when I was coughing and spluttering, I understood, Allah, I have to please you. By that time, I had to fail, and I had thousands of medicines, and then I used to sleep in the night, and I had no energy to worship you. My friends, those who are young sitting here today, who are sitting in dhikr, they have understood their objective of life, the youngsters. They have understood what is the youthful. What is the middle age for? My sheikh, in 30 years old, I was 30 years old, my sheikh taught me that time. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. He corrected me. He realigned me. And he started to teach me from the age. So make shauk and desire and passion that Allah, when will I start my life? When will I start to become a person with a good program? Today make a connection with the Wali of Allah and your routine of life and objective of life will start. Don't delay. Don't delay. Never delay in your objective of life. Straight away get to the company of a Wali of Allah. Shaykh, I want to attain my objective for which Allah Ta'ala sent me to this earth. And the first step in the journey to please Allah, ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Allah says, if you want to attain my nearness, then sit with the honest and upright people. Shall I speak in my language? If you want to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, then become close to the wali of Allah. Hand yourself over to the teacher. Yeah? Hand yourself over to the teacher. Assign yourself over to the teacher. You have become your wives, you have become your children's, they will leave you. You've become your business will leave you. You run after everything in the dunya, your dunya will leave you. The world will leave you. Nobody will assist you. Nothing will go with you, foolish people. I am in the same boat. Nothing will go with us, but Allah will be at our aid if we make Allah our close friend. Sell yourself at the hand of a wali of Allah. Follow his rulings and teachings. Hazrat, buy me out. Go to the wali of Allah and say, oh wali of Allah, I sell myself to your service, and it will be a great transaction, and you'll be honest and sincere, and you will attain the objective in the hereafter. Just make a bit of a connection with the wali of Allah, a genuine wali of Allah, and those who are dishonest and insincere, those who've broken the connection, then re-establish that connection. Do tawbah in the presence of Allah. We've lied, we played games with you, we tried to commit fraud with our teacher, we did a ghibat, we didn't listen to the advice of our teacher, and we'd reject our teacher and laugh him off, because shaitan, he was rejecting in front of Allah. So you think he will not make us reject the truth that we've learned today from our teacher? So if this has happened, then be honest, be truthful with Allah. And all we need to do, وَجَاهِدُوا فِينَا, Allah says, the biggest effort you can make in your life is to go and establish a connection with the wali of Allah in an honest way, sincere way, and then your journey of life will start. Those people who have not got this connection, Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا اتَّقُوا قُولُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Those who don't have the connection with the sadiqeen, they are in loss, in darkness. They have made their life total waste of time, gain. They do ibadah according to their desire. They do actions according to their desires. They are servants of their own nafs. They are gulams of their own nafs. Cannot be ever. It cannot be that person is free in the world and he comes into the control of nafs. An animal, if you free it in the wilderness, then it's out of control. And a human being is worse than the wild animal. If he becomes a ghafil, can that nafs be controlled and reined by the leash? Never. It's like a wild horse and worse. So how can we say, I'm not controlled by anything, I'm fine, I'm pious, and I'll be forgiven? No, brothers, your salah will be according to your nafs, your worship will be according to your nafs, your desires will be followed. This is not the case. You need to live your life in the world according to my desire, Allah says. Otherwise you'll be out of control like a wild horse. Imprison yourself. Imprison yourself, chain yourself up, become the servant of the true teacher's orders and instructions so that he can drag you towards success. Don't make a fuss, don't reject, don't snigger and laugh at the instructions of the teacher. Rather, assign yourself. Yes, do taqleed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you agree with what I'm saying? That's enough. Otherwise, life is a waste, total waste of time, worse than a donkey's life if we don't do Islam. It's like a dust and soil and dirt. If we don't follow, we're sat there stubborn. I do this ibadat, I'm pious, I'm the best Muslim. If I feel like doing zikr, I do it. If I don't feel like zikr, I don't do it. I do durush even alike. All of this is according to the desires. Allah says, follow my desire, follow my instructions. You'll have to do less, but you'll get higher reward. Subhanallah. So simple is this method. Make effort. Less effort, less trying, but more reward. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all in this blessed night, may Allah give us all the tawfiq. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the sadqa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sadqa of this blessed month, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do tazkiyah, purify our nafs and our heart, and the gift that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us in this night of Rabiul Awwal, husni akhlaq. May Allah Ta'ala give us the greatest conduct and behavior. Ameen thumma ameen. Recite the durood sharif.